so hard, my bass and fun.
Read so hard, library's trying to find me. They can't identify me. Checked in with a pseudonym, so I guess you could say I'm Mark Twaining. Read so hard,
that shit cray.
That shit cray.
Ain't it, eh?
Read so hard,
what you reading?
What you reading?
D-Montaigne.
Read
so hard,
you use a Kindle? I carry spines, supporting bookshelves like a bra. Calvin Klein.
Hi, you're listening to Drunk Booksellers. My name is Kim.
And I'm Emma.
And we're professional booksellers.
And casual drinkers. So today is kind of a special episode. We don't have a single guest. We have clips from many guests. It's Seattle Bookstore Day. And
It's well after Seattle Bookstore Day. Spoiler.
For Seattle Bookstore Day, we did the Seattle Bookstore Day tour, which we did for our very first episode. Link to that in the show notes. And this year, basically, we had to go to 19 stores all across Seattle in the greater Seattle area. And we went to, how many did we go to? 21?
21.
So we drove 130 miles, visited 19 bookstores, got a shit ton of books.
21 bookstores, dude. Don't undersell us.
Right, 21 bookstores, shit ton of books. And at each bookstore, we talked to a bookseller and we asked them what books they were recommending given the current political climate.
We let them kind of interpret that as whatever they thought that meant.
Right, whether it's books about politics or escapist literature, we told them to go with whatever. In all of our episodes since Trump has gotten elected, we've gone off on tangents involving, like, discussing the election and politics, and a lot of the times we've had to cut that stuff out, because we usually talk to people for like two and a half hours, and we always try to keep our episodes to an hour, and that stuff kind of always ended up getting cut for one reason or another.
Not because it wasn't important, just because it was hard to tell which would be timely in the, you know, next month after we'd posted.
Right.
Shit's timely now.
Yeah.
It's not going away.
It just kept coming up before he was elected and once he'd been elected, and we now decided to devote an entire episode to talking about how we're dealing with this right now. It's been really hard, and my reading has definitely changed since the election, and we were just curious to hear not just what people were recommending, but what they were reading.
And I think there is something to say. I think we talked about this with Paul on our last episode, Paul Constant. Bookstores are a business, and one of the important parts of our business is our community. So it makes it hard for booksellers to talk about the very politicized things that they're reading, because we don't want to alienate by any means.
Right.
But especially after the election, bookstores have been a sanctuary for so many people. And we've seen that every day with customers coming in, and like days after the election, I would see a regular and we would just like make eye contact and start crying and hug each other. And that's weird, but that's what we were there for. And that is the importance of bookstores. And so we've been trying not to have that be an overwhelming thing in this podcast, but here we are.
Yeah, it's a thing.
It's here, it's important, and we want to talk to people about what they're doing, regardless of what side of the aisle they're on.
Although, spoiler alert, most of the people we talk to are liberal.
Real talk.
All the people we talk to are liberal.
Yeah.
I think Paul, in the last episode, said this time is what books were made for. Like, books are empathy machines. Books are here to teach us. Books are here to help us figure our shit out. So here are some books that we hope will help.
Yeah.
Read so hard, library's trying to find me. That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Do you want to say your name in the store?
My name is Emma Van Dyke. The store is Eagle Harbor Book Company.
And I'm also Emma, which is great. And we're basically asking what you would recommend listeners read given the current political climate.
Current political climate. Yeah. Well, I would recommend American War. I can't remember the last name at the moment, but it's right over here. Yeah, Omar El Akkad, and he wrote a book from the perspective of a refugee in a distant, in like not so distant future where the civil war has sprung up again. It is extremely dark, but very interesting, and it feels real.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Nice to meet you, Emma.
Nice to meet you, too.
Your name, the name of the store, and what you're recommending right now.
Okay. Madison Duckworth, Liberty Bay Books. I am recommending Illuminae because I think that right now you just kind of have to get off-world and forget about what's happening.
Beautiful. Thanks, Madison.
My name's Ron Woods and Edmunds Bookshop, and I recommend The Knicks by Nathan Hill, a political book from now and in the past, too.
Nice.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, I'm Robert Sindler. I'm from Third Place Books, and the book I would recommend would be East West by Mohsen Hamid. Definitely probably one of the most emotionally affecting books I've read in a long time, and though it's fable-like and fantastical, it has a lot to say about the world we live in and how we treat each other.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Robert.
Absolutely.
My name is Annie Carl. I run the Never Ending Bookshop. Come by and bottle. Okay, plug over.
That's so,
yeah,
part of it.
Yeah, yeah. Ready Player One, I think, okay. I would recommend because it's a really fun, like, awesome read. Steven Spielberg is doing the movie, but it also is very relevant, I think, to now, because the government is sort of like, we've all abandoned Earth for virtual reality, essentially, and the government's like, hello, hello, we're gonna just take over wherever we can. So
yeah,
I think that I know that's kind of a weird pick, but
that's great.
Yeah,
I'm Ruth Dickey from Seattle Arts and Lectures, and the book that I'm most excited to find today is the Jesmyn Ward anthology, The Fire Next Time, which I feel like is an important book for this moment.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, yeah, it's so good.
It's so good.
Yeah, yeah, I like it. That's awesome. Cool, thank you.
I think my name is Chris Jarmick. I'm at Booktree in Kirkland, and a couple of great books to read right now if you're not depressed enough watching the news is Dark Money by Jane Mayer and Red Notice by Bill Red Notice. It's a couple of years old, and it's a wonderful book.
Nice. What are they about?
Dark Money is a money trail that's a little different than just the Koch brothers, and it goes into detail, and it's kind of a scary, oh my God, this is really happening kind of book. And Red Notice is a businessman who had dealings in Russia for many years and ran a hedge fund, and then things kind of blew up, and he discovered all the corruption about the oligarchs and all that kind of stuff. And it's, even though it's written a few years ago, it's very timely today. Good understanding of that situation.
Webby March, can't happen here.
It can't happen here.
What we do now.
Yeah.
Everybody's giving you these, right?
Yeah. No. Yeah. All the same ones. Okay.
Actually, yeah, we actually haven't gotten any repeats yet.
Oh, what's the other one?
What about...
We are now walking around the store because you have to be touching the book in order to recommend it.
This, just to, you know, soothe your soul. And also the Anne Lamott Book of Joy.
Okay.
And Hallelujah Anyway. I mean, anything to make you happy in today's climate. God help us all.
Can I get your name and the store's name for the podcast?
Island Books. Mm-hmm. And I'm Marnie, M-A-R-N-I.
Cool. Thank you.
And that's Laurie. She's the owner. L-A-U-R-I-E.
Awesome.
Awesome. Thank you,
guys.
Thank
you so much. It's been a lot of fun. Okay, cheers. Thanks for the mimosas.
Sure. Yeah.
I highly recommend American Presidents by David Levine. It's he was a famous caricaturist who wrote for who did drawings for political cartoons and caricatures for a number of magazines in the 19th century and early into that after the turn of the century. And American Presidents is sort of, it has all of the American presidents up until our current president. It includes Barack Obama, and thankfully stops there. But, you know, I think what's really sort of revealing about it is, you know, the Republic has survived more than its share of miscreants and malcontents and completely incompetent politicians over the years. So from Richard Nixon to, throughout history. And I think it's not only relevant, but it's sort of, for me, it has a calming influence. And there's a very short narrative that goes along with each chapter, and that's really informative and historically accurate and very progressive, and but not overbearingly so. So my name is Larry Reed, and I work at Fantagraphics Bookstore and Gallery in Georgetown, and Fantagraphics Books publishes American Presence.
Awesome. My name's Amber, and we're a Seattle Mystery Bookshop. And one thing that we've noticed with all of the political upheaval that's been going on around, that a lot of people are buying a lot of Golden Age mysteries, which means mysteries that are set between World War I and World War II, but they could have written after World War II, but that's when they started their series.
Right.
So things like Agatha Christie or Elizabeth Daly or a lot of these other Golden Age authors that have offstage violence, not a lot of language, and not a lot of sex in them, because they are purely mysteries, that they're pure puzzles, that you don't have to deal with the political climate now,
right,
but you can escape out of it, which is familiar to a lot of people.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Read so hard, libraries trying to find me. That shit crack.
That shit crack. All right, I'm Tegan Tagani at Queen Anne Book Company, and the book I would recommend is Your Heart is a Muscle the Size of a Fist by Sunil Yapa. The reason I recommend it is it's about the WTO protests, and I think it teaches us a lot about common things that we want to fight for, like love and family, and things we have to still fight against. It also teaches you about the practicalities of protesting, things like bringing antacid for your eyes if you get tear gas, and bringing always a bandana with you when you're protesting, because it's one more layer of protection.
I'm Georgiana Blomberg, owner of Magnolia's Bookstore. And one of my favorite books of all time, which I don't ever think got enough attention, is Rebecca Lee's Bobcat.
Oh.
And it's just very aware of just differences in people in the world, and she incorporates that into her writing so wonderfully, and she's like the best writer ever. And so, yeah, and I don't even like short stories that much, but these are somehow, I just love these because they sort of link a little bit, and she's just, I feel like she was born to be a writer, and she's so intelligent, and she really makes you see things in a different way. And
cool.
I'm just blown away by her.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's great.
I'm Laura Hamilton. The store is Book Larder, and my recommendation is a book called Soup for Syria. It is a really excellent book that was put together by a lot of chefs, and it's raising money for the UNHRC.
Okay, so my name is Madison, and working at Secret Garden Books. And then for a recommendation, there's two. One's escapist, and one's in the political climate. One of them is Exit West, and that's about like the refugee crisis. I'm sure you've gotten that recommendation before.
Actually, only once.
Oh,
so
really?
Far.
Oh, it's such a good book. It's beautifully written. That one's really good. And then the one book that's my very favorite book, it's by Dodie Smith. It's called I Capture the Castle, and it's kind of an old book. She wrote 101 Dalmatians, but I love it.
Yay. Good. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Tom Nisley from Finney Books, and I would say there's a book called Ghetto Side that I've been recommending since it came out about a year and a half ago. That's now in paperback. It's by an LA Times reporter who's been on the homicide beat for years, and it's about homicide policing in LA, and it's... I think from wherever you're coming, it will change the way you think about policing, about cities, about crime, and in ways you won't expect, in ways I didn't expect. And it's could not be more relevant to Black Lives Matter, to the way we talk about policing, to the way we talk about cities these days.
My name is Billy Swift. My store is Open Books, a poem emporium. And the books I would recommend... are all of them. If not,
correct answer.
I think Whereas by Layli Long Soldier, In the Language of My Captor by Shane McRae, and Trophic Cascade by Camille Dungy.
So I have more. The Boston Review's Poems for Political Disaster is a tremendous collection. Sibling Rivalry Press puts out a collection
We can walk. This happens literally every time when we ask a bookseller about something. They have to bring us to the shelf, which is kind of great.
Okay. That one is If You Can Hear This, Poems in Protest of an American Inauguration. Resist Much, Obey Little, Inaugural Poems to the Resistance is fantastic. Another really tremendous just collection that's out is Water and Salt by Lena Talatufaha. It's hard to pass anything. People's first books, Sharif Shanahan, Safia El Hilo. We have a book by Carolina Ibid back here, which is so beautiful. The latest Etel Adnan. Okay, I'll stop. Because I'm just going to walk around and say everything.
Pam Katie, University Bookstore. I'm recommending Make Trouble by John Waters because he's freaking awesome. And it's a speech that he made to, it's a commencement speech that he made to Rhode Island School of Design. And I am from Providence, six miles from Rhode Island School of Design. And my whole family went there. And it's awesome because he's so hilarious about telling people, just keep going. Don't give up. Make trouble. Don't listen to other people. Listen to yourself. You've got to read it. Be creative no matter what. Just go out and do it. No excuses. I love it. And it's really funny, and it's so John Waters. It's only $14.95.
There you go.
My name is Christina. I work at Third Place Books in Ravenna. The book I've been recommending to people who come in with questions about how to understand or explain our current political climate is Against Equality, edited by Ryan Conrad. The subtitle is Queer Revolution, Not Mere Inclusion. And it's an anthology from 2013, but I find it to be super relevant. It's a book I like to give people who are trying to understand the question of like why the same oppressed groups are still oppressed after all of these years, despite, especially when it comes to LGBT rights, what we might consider like landmark civil rights victories over the past like 50 years. So I would say like overall it's a pretty controversial book. Brings up a lot of uncomfortable stuff, like is pretty unflinching about counteracting a lot of like consistent narratives around these things that like we want to feel positive about like gay marriage and don't ask, don't tell repeal and all these things. But I feel like it's a good book if you feel like looking at the truth in a very hard way and maybe being startled and surprised.
Hello, I'm Garrett Schultz from Adis Technical Books and Cafe. My recommendation for a book to read in America is No Place to Hide by Glenn Greenwald.
Awesome.
Cool.
Thank you.
Read so hard, libraries can't find me. That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack.
So, as we mentioned earlier, politics has come up in many, well, probably most of our episodes in the past year, since, you know, social and political issues are so intrinsic to what we do as booksellers. So we figured we'd give our guests from past episodes the opportunity to weigh in on what they're recommending. So here you go.
Hello, fellow fans of booze and books. It's Pete Mulvihill from Green Apple Books in San Francisco. The books we're selling to people right now, given the current political situation, vary really from bookseller to bookseller, but here's my pile. First, I'm playing the long game with Dear Ijeawele by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. It's a series of letters that she wrote to a friend of hers who had a young daughter, and it's advice on raising feminists. And as a father of an 11-year-old daughter, it was important to me to make sure that my wife and I are doing what we can to raise a feminist. Book number two, perfect for this time of year, graduating class is Make Trouble by John Waters. It's his graduation speech to an art school, I think RISD. And it's exactly what you want it to be and exactly what you think it is. It's funny, it's irreverent, and it's passionate. So I think that's a great one right now. I also read a book called Stranger in the Woods by David Finkel. It's the story of a hermit. It's a story of a hermit who lived for 27 years in the Maine woods without any interaction with other human beings, basically. He once passed a hiker and said hi. But in 27 other years, he didn't interact with any other human beings. It's an incredible story. There's a little bit of mystery on how they finally found him, how he survived. But it's also a look at that feeling that a lot of people have right now where they want to remove themselves from society. Really good journalistic language and writing, and a fascinating topic. For escape, I read a novel called White Tears by Hari Kunzru. Very interesting novel. It has to do a bit with sort of the white appropriation of black culture, but it's also just kind of an odd tale of the collector, LP collector subculture in New York and the intersection of privilege and race, and just a rip-roaring good story with a road trip at its center, so you know it's going somewhere. But you don't know where it's going, and it definitely didn't go where I thought it was. And then finally, there's some, if you're one to embrace darkness, there's a short story collection coming out called The Dark Dark by Samantha Hunt. And I was a big fan of her previous book, Mr. Splitfoot, which is weird, and I don't sell it to everybody, but it was good. And this new collection of short stories do tend to the darker side, but they're very ripe with humanity, and they walk that edge between reality and whatever is not real, and I strongly recommend it. I hope those help. I can't wait to hear what everybody else is recommending.
Hi, this is Leah Koch. I'm the co-owner of the Ripped Bodice bookstore in Culver City, California. And given the current political climate, I think there's two directions you can go if you want to lean into politics but read about some actual good and also sexy and hot politicians. I would recommend Prime Minister by Ainsley Booth and Sadie Holler, which is about a fictional Canadian prime minister. And if you want to escape the world completely and go in a fantasy direction, I would recommend A Promise of Fire by Amanda Boucher.
I recommend Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America by Ari Berman, which is it's about the Civil Rights Act and voting rights. It's really well reported. It's a great history of the civil rights movement and how this happened before, how they made sure that people of color couldn't vote. They are legit doing some of the exact same things now in states around the country. And so Give Us the Ballot is a great book for understanding how it happened, how it's happening again, and how they diffused it last time, and what we can do moving forward to make sure that everyone has the right to vote. This is totally the moment for bookstores. You know, I think they're community centers. They are full of knowledge. Authors are passing through all the time. I think it's just it's a great opportunity for bookstores.
Read so hard, libraries can't find me. That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack.
So we talked to booksellers, and then at the champ party, 312 people completed the entire bookstore day tour, and the bookstores threw them a party. And at the champ party, Kim went around asking a few people what they're reading right now, given the current political situation.
You see a few people like I wasn't working very hard at this. I got five.
Five is less than half a dozen, so I'd say that's a few.
How many did you get, Emma?
I was working.
I was also working, Emma. I was getting you drinks, if you recall.
That was really funny.
Anyway.
Hi, my name is Katie Piontek. My reading habits have actually dwindled a bit since the election. I started reading The Origins of Totalitarianism, but it was just too depressing. I started rereading it, actually, and I just had to stop. I read The Fire Next Time, which was great.
It's important.
It's important.
Yeah.
Kind of depressing at... I mean, the situation's the same.
Yeah.
And then now I'm reading Queen of the Night. I just started it, but kind of a nice...
It just needs some opera in your life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So that's
cool
for Matt.
Thank you. Ed, do you want to... No pressure.
What are you reading?
You're reading all...
I'm reading like six different things. Nothing related to the current... What was the book we just picked up from Powell's on the Organization of Cities?
Yeah, you were reading this book on how, like, neighborhoods formed and how cities
The Color of Law.
No.
No. We should read that one too, though. What's that one?
That just came out from Norton.
Is it Jane Jacobs?
No, it was an
old
book.
It was Jane Jacobs, yes.
I don't remember the name of the book, but it was Jane Jacobs. Urbanism.
Yeah, I can picture it on your bookshelf or on your desk, but I don't remember the name of it.
So I'm a few chapters into that, but...
It's a great book.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
We'll put the title in the show notes. Courtney, are you reading anything?
The best book that I've read since the election is Borderlands by Gloria Anzaldúa. Mm-hmm. I have found that very reassuring. And one of my fellow bookstore champions, Courtney B., and I have started a book club just for Courtney's, and we are reading The Handmaid's Tale as our inaugural book.
Amazing.
The book was Death and Life of Great American Cities.
Thank you. It's got a white cover. Yeah. Cool. Thanks, guys.
Oh, is it going?
Uh-huh.
I'm just staring out the window.
It's a beautiful day here in Seattle.
Yeah. I'm Christiane, and I work with Shelf Awareness in Seattle. So what I just finished reading, I guess a month ago now, was Lydia Yuknovich's new book, The Book of Joan. And it took me a couple starts because it was kind of too hard. I got it at one of the shows. I think I got it at PMBA, which was in fall, and then it took me until just this
and
last...
And everybody wept during her...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just the benevolence and love that she has, which is really good to keep in mind reading the book, which is hard. Like, it bites back. Because it's dystopian. Another sort of look at what happens if we destroy the earth completely, and we have a class of people who are wealthy enough to remove themselves from the earth that they've destroyed, and then it doesn't solve really all the problems, and there's sort of a decline into misery and just gross, like, just gross. And yet there's still this character who is heroic, and yet also kind of problematic, Joan. I think it's hard to read because there's too many parallels in what's going on now with the sort of despot dictator and the degradation of humanity and monetary rises to power. But it was also purgative in that way to read it and to say... Maybe it's not totally hopeless.
Legit.
I have some questions about the end, though. We can talk about that.
We can talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So just your name and then what you're reading and the current climate.
Okay. Anything in particular? Or
yeah. Like whether it's escapist or something that you're picking up for the first time because you feel like you should be picking it up, or things that you're deciding to read and seek out that you haven't decided to seek out before or anything like that.
Awesome. Well, I've been rereading Neil Gaiman's American Gods just because it's great. By the time I just finished rereading Tony Hillerman before that. But recently I've been reading a lot of books about why we do things. So I've been going through things, kind of going with behavioral economics, stuff with Daniel Kahneman, Michael Lewis, just kind of about how we don't necessarily realize all of our biases and what drives us to do things, and how we don't necessarily pick up on information that's there. How often, like, we're just going based on intuition, and how that's awesome, and that we kind of need it, but at the same time, like, science and information shows us that it's not actually happening the way we think it is.
Yeah. So it's thinking fast and slow.
Yeah,
then.
Exactly.
Did you read the Undoing Project?
I did read it. That's kind of what started me on it. Okay. I was listening to the Freakonomics podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And he interviewed Michael Lewis, and they were talking about that, and that kind of got me started on the whole thing of processing it. So, and that then took me to Misbehaving, the one that Richard Thaler did on the kind of start the idea of behavioral economics. Yeah. After I'd listened, I actually didn't read it, but I listened to The Undoing Project on audiobooks. And it's just kind of the idea that what we think is rational and reasonable isn't the way people react.
Yeah,
it's just kind of like, and then you look at what's going on now, it's like definitely everyone reacts in the emotional, non-rational way, but we expect rationality to prevail. And it's certainly proving that that doesn't necessarily what happens.
Yeah.
But the expectation that everything is rational and everything is going to be illogical conclusion is what drives policy. That's necessarily what should drive policy.
Yeah.
So when you look at things like nudge, which Thaler did with, I forget his last, the other guy, but the idea of nudge, the little nudges that kind of change behavior, mm-hmm. have much huger effect than anything else that we do.
Right.
Simple letting everyone know what, what's actually, this is what most people do. And then just like, oh, most people do that, and how that changes effect so much faster than anything else.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I've been reading there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wait, can you say your name again?
Kendra.
Kendra. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank
awesome.
You so much.
Thank
yeah.
you, Kim. Appreciate it.
Cheers.
So if you have recommendations or want to tell us what you've been reading and how you've been dealing with the election, you should hit us up on Twitter. We're at Drunk Bookseller, or you can email us at drunkbooksellers@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, on Instagram, all Drunk Bookseller, and also
Drunk Booksellers.
All Drunk Booksellers.
We're plural everywhere except Twitter.
Yeah.
Twitter doesn't like us to be a plurality.
They just want us to be a single Drunk
Bookseller. They think we should be an individual. We disagree.
I wanted to give a shout out to a couple of newsletters I've been reading. I've been collecting books and not totally reading them, but I have been reading a bunch of newsletters. I subscribe to the New York Times. That's not a newsletter. For those who aren't aware, that's an actual newspaper. I'm not that politically out of touch that I don't know what a newspaper is. But I subscribe to the New York Times, and I'm actually reading that now. I also subscribe to What the Fuck Just Happened Today, which is a daily newsletter which gives a brief headline and links to articles from reputable sources, just kind of telling you, as it sounds, what the fuck happened that day. There's also Wall of Us sends you weekly acts, ways you can fight back. There's Flippable, there's Indivisible, there will be more links in the show notes to shit like this. And if you have stuff that's been helping you, let us know, because we'd love to continue this conversation, because it's going to be a long few years.
Yeah, I mean, real talk, my reading has gone down so hard since the election, because I've been listening to so many podcasts, and I normally do a lot of audiobook listening as part of my reading schedule. The podcasts that I've been listening to that have been incredible are Pod Save America. So if you're not listening to that, go listen to it. It's the Keeping It 1600 folk who are really keeping it going in a important manner right now. They've got a whole slew of things that, like, Pod Save the World, and they've got a whole podcast right now that, like, connects people from different sides of the aisle that you might not think about. And this is all important. And if you don't listen to audiobooks right now, then listening to a podcast for your news means that you get more reading time when you actually can read, as opposed to scrolling through your Facebook. Mm. So that is very helpful. Pro tip.
Very helpful.
Also, everybody should just be listening to Another Round at all times.
Yeah.
Because they talk about politics, but also are important from a POC narrative standpoint. And, like, sometimes they will react to what's going on, and some things they won't, and I think that's incredibly helpful to, like, kind of give a good perspective of the state of America. So, that's that.
Cool.
This is a hard one.
Yeah, this was hard.
Everybody go take a drink.
Read so hard, library's trying to find me. I am now marking my page. Don't want a crease on my page. Don't let me forget this page. Don't let me forget this page.
I am now marking my page. Don't want a crease on my page. Don't let me forget this page. Don't want to forget this page. I've got bookmarks at home, but I forgot one for the road.
I have a bookmark that I can loan.
Know how many bookmarks I own? I am now marking my page. Don't let me forget this page. Don't let me forget this page. Don't let me forget this page.